League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
A strike away. One ball, two strikes. Judge on the ground. Presley's got it. Easy flip. Ball game over. And the Houston Astros win the American League pennant. The Astros are going back to the World Series.
Oh, no. The New York Yankees were able to get Aaron Judge back in the fold. So scared. Aaron Judge signed a deal with the New York Yankees this morning. So at the very least, the Yankees didn't just bring Brian Cashman back. They brought back Aaron Judge. 9 years, $360 million to bring back a guy who is, as dangerous as it gets in the postseason, right? 211 batting average, 772 OPS. But hey, he's got the record for the seventh most home runs in Major League history. What's going on, people? It is the Paul Gallant Show. I am Paul Gallant, as you could probably tell by now. Going to be a fun show this morning. Touch on a couple of different things outside of the baseball world, though. Jerome Solomon did catch up with Jim Crane. He'll give you a quote, Crane, that might give you a bit of a pants tent when it comes to the Astros going forward. It seems like Mike Vrabel is going full Bill O'Brien in Tennessee, and I want alternative suggestions at quarterback for the Houston Texans because we have drifted into we're not even going to watch the games the rest of the year phase of this NFL season. But on this Wednesday, hope day, so annoying when people say that, December 7th of 2022, I want to say hi to Sean Mapes, who's been working all day long, getting up early to do all the prep you possibly could for the Paul Gallant Show. Wait, no, you're just a jack of all trades. What's going on, Sean?
Yeah, I have a lot of duties here and other places, and today's one of those days. The hump, pretty big, but hopefully I get over the hump today for
Wow, a lot of hump references right there.
This is my hump.
What was
my lovely hump?
Your lovely manly hump. Because
yes,
you can have a lovely manly hump, okay? You can't.
It's 2022.
Right. Shoot, you could be, not even a man or a lady and have lovely humps in wherever you want. Maybe your lovely lump is a fupa. Doesn't matter. A muffin top. It's okay. So Aaron Judge is back with the New York Yankees, which is really impressive because the Yankees seemingly went out of their way to bleep this one up. Do you remember back in April when Aaron Judge was asked about the supposed offer the Yankees had on the table for him, which was something around $215, $220 million? Judge was pissed off that Brian Cashman put those contract details out in the open. Here's Judge back in April.
I'm sure you know Cashman told us what their final offer was when we were in here. I know you don't want to get into much about the negotiations, but is there anything you would want to say publicly about your reasoning in determining that wasn't the offer for you to accept at this time?
Yeah, I don't like talking numbers. I like to keep that private. You know, it's something, you know, I kind of felt like it was private between my team and the Yankees. But I'm not going to get into that.
Do you mind that it was told to us then, if you feel it should be private?
You know, Cash has a job to do. You know, this is what he does. You know, I'm a ball player. He does what he does, and, you know, I can't control what, you know, happens on the other side.
He wasn't thrilled. Time magazine, still exists, had a piece about their athlete of the year, and it was Aaron Judge. And in that piece, after the details had been released of the $213.5 million deal over 7 years he had been offered in April to stay in New York, he said, "We kind of said, hey, let's keep this between us. I was a little upset that the numbers came out. I understand it's a negotiation tactic, put pressure on me, turn the fans against me, turn the media on me. That part of it I didn't like." Brian Cashman did not comment on this story, but they did ask for, also extended, Brian Cashman, general manager of the Yankees. But they figured out a way to make this work, despite it looking at one point last night like the San Francisco Giants were going to sign Aaron Judge. I guess they offered him the exact same deal, 9 years, $360 million, and the Yankees, who had offered 9 years, $340 million, decided to match it. But we all thought for a moment in time that Aaron Judge was leaving the New York Yankees for the San Francisco Giants, which for all Astros fans would have been pretty hilarious.
We had a good reason to believe that...
A good reason?
That, yes, that Aaron Judge was going to the San Francisco Giants, because I'm sure you saw John Heyman's tweet.
What did he tweet? Because for those who don't know, John Heyman blocked me because I once called him a Scott Boras shill, and then he drunkenly tweeted at me several unintelligible things before blocking me.
Okay, well, I mean, then you're really missing out on some great intel. He's an MLB insider, one of the most respected in baseball. And at 5:20 in the afternoon yesterday, John Heyman, at John Heyman, tweeted, "Arson Judge appears headed to Giants."
Arson Judge?
Yes.
Hell yeah. That's a new name.
So I guess technically he's not wrong. I mean, we don't know. He's not wrong yet, because Aaron Judge did not sign with the Giants.
And this was in the afternoon. This wasn't at night?
This is at 5:20.
Okay.
So, happy hour?
Ooh. Well, listen, we're not making any intimations here. I'm just saying the last tweets I saw from John Heyman seemed to be written by somebody who was not of a level mind. Whatever, that's fine. Who hasn't sent out a drunk tweet before? Did you see mine on Thanksgiving watching football, tweeting about the Jonas brother with chest hair and asking whether or not he had chest hair implants or something like that? Anyway, I have a question. This is a lot of money. It's 9 years and $360 million for a Yankees team that, let's be honest, it's just Aaron Judge. Who else on that team do you look at and say, man, that's going to be a challenge for the Houston Astros? I guess Giancarlo Stanton? Are the Yankees still the number two in the American League to the Houston Astros? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. My answer? No, they're not. They got Cashman back. They got Judge back. They've maintained. And I know that they had a very historic start to this past season, but Baseball Paul went and looked at the schedule they had played in the first half of the year. They didn't really play that difficult of a schedule. They played much better teams in the second half of the year, and we obviously saw them fall back to earth. They didn't crash back to earth, but they came back to the rest of the pack in a season where they will play less American League East games. I suppose they could theoretically win more, because now you have to play all 29 of the other teams across a baseball season. But are they better than the Mariners, who continue to be aggressive? Are they better than the Toronto Blue Jays, who also, like the Mariners, will be 1 year older, 1 year more savvy? Those are the two teams that I look at from the Astros' perspective and think are the most dangerous team to them in the American League. Also, you get to answer that question, but I wanted to throw out some fresh meat. I know that much like we have a left and a right, we have, in the world of baseball, those with Astros derangement syndrome and those with make everyone literally love the Houston Astros again hats. Like, that's kind of the political spectrum of baseball these days. And the latter will love this fun conspiracy that came from Insider.com. Aaron Judge and that seventh most home runs in baseball history record. Well, may have been something at play here. So I read this report, and to spare you all the scientific details, baseball used three balls over the course of the year instead of the one that they had promised. One of those balls is called the Goldilocks ball because it's not too heavy, not too light, like that little bee Goldilocks freeloading on those hardworking bears' house. Did Goldilocks die at the end of that? She should have.
Yeah, because Papa Bear thought that she was a home invader. And so,
yeah,
he has the right. I mean, he literally has the right to bear arms.
There you go. Or if he was in Texas, I mean, pull out a gun, bam, dead. Goldilocks, sorry, shouldn't have intruded. But I'm just a small child eating everyone's porridge and sleeping on the mattresses. No, you're a little freeloader, and freeloaders get freeloaded off to heaven.
That's white privilege.
Yeah, it definitely is white privilege. Thank you, Sean. I mean, geez, just stealing away bear property as if we haven't done that already, cutting down their forests, you know? My God. Anyway, bear genocide out there. But this Goldilocks ball was found very often used in the Home Run Derby, the World Series. Ooh, we want to get some more home runs. Maybe a little bit perfect. And Yankees games. So it was difficult for them to obtain all the balls used over the course of the season, but it's clear that multiple balls were used. 9 of them were from postseason games. 11 were from Yankees games. Interesting. So, again, for the make everyone literally love the Houston Astros again hat-wearing folk, that's some fresh meat for you. Baseball directs where those balls go. Rob Manfred, grew up a Yankees fan? Judging on. You guys now have the necessary information to go all out on the internet. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN to call. Are the Yankees still the second best team in the American League? Also, up next, Mike Vrabel is going full Bill O'Brien in Tennessee. The receipts are there. The question, is that something that can work in the NFL? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
You're listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down!
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Before we get to a couple of comments from our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, on the New York Yankees bringing back Aaron Judge and whether or not they are still the second best team in the American League, we do have some news courtesy of Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, who tweeted out that the Cardinals are closing in on free agent catcher Wilson Contreras. I don't see, as of now, any details on a confirmed signing or any specifics about a contract, but this was somebody who was supposedly a target of the Houston Astros. I was wondering how they were going to work him into the lineup. I know that Rosenthal, I think, had put out in a piece a little bit ago that Contreras would potentially play a little bit of left field and designated hitter. And I would imagine he would catch as well. But him as a catcher, I don't think lines up with the Astros continuing to try and develop their players. I think that you got to see between Yennier Diaz and Corey Lee who actually belongs, if not both of them, in the major leagues. So I wonder how they will operate in the first month of the year. I think they should have, unless one of these guys is horrible in the spring, I think they should have three catchers on the roster to open the season. Martin Maldonado is the guy who's going to get the majority of, days behind the plate. I do feel like Maldonado hit decently enough to merit giving him, you know, the first month, 2 months of the season or something like that. But I want to see Lee and Diaz get regular opportunities to potentially determine whether or not one of those guys has the ability to be, you know, the majority of the day catcher for this team in the future. I mean, they are your two top positional player prospects, at least last I've checked. That might change with the baseball prospectus stuff. From the last segment, this comes from Limnologist 05, talking about the Aaron Judge contract. Brian Cashman was the best extension for the rest of the league. LOL. The Yankees will regret 5 to 9 years at $40 million per. I think they will too. They need to add other pieces, and they have shown that they are not the way that they used to, at the very least, as aggressive when it comes to throwing big money out. Now, that didn't always work. I think it's important to remember that. From 2001 on, after they lost the World Series to the Diamondbacks, they did throw a lot of money at some of their issues, whether it was at old pitchers to try to keep them around, Alex Rodriguez, and it didn't fix their problems. But signing Aaron Judge to this massive extension, again, kind of have to do it just because of the season he had last year and because Yankee fans would probably lose their minds, as if they're not already doing it, to the Brian Cashman extension. It just limits your ability to address other parts of this team that need to be addressed. And okay, you could talk yourself into not giving Justin Verlander the contract that the Mets did, and you can talk yourself into not giving Trey Turner the contract that the Phillies did, but you still need to upgrade this roster. I don't think it's the second best team in the American League anymore. Not definitively, at least. The Astros are definitely the number one, but I feel like the Mariners are closing the gap on the Astros, and in closing the gap on the Astros, I feel like you're probably taking a step past the Yankees, and long-term, I feel better about the Blue Jays' chances than I do about New York's. We haven't done this feature of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program turned Paul Gallant show in a while, but, I mean, the sound is impeccable. So let's take a look at the south side of the AFC and ignore the Texans.
Time to take a ride around the south side of the AFC with Paul Gallant.
Such a banger. We saw yesterday that John Robinson, the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, was taken out back and bam, shot. In an old Yeller fashion, not in a, hey, we're the Soviets, this guy just vanishes off the face of the earth. Amy Adams Strunk, owner of the Tennessee Titans, released this statement. Since becoming controlling owner in 2015, my goal has been to raise the standard for what is expected in all facets of our organization. I believe we have made significant progress both on and off the field through investments in leadership, personnel, and new ideas. This progress includes the core of our business, the football team itself, which is regularly evaluated both by results, in parentheses, wins and losses, in parentheses, and team construction roster building. I am proud of what we have accomplished in my 8 seasons of ownership. You are? It's not exactly the highest bar to clear with Daddy, but Adams. But I believe there is more to be done and higher aspirations to be met. I want to thank John for his dedicated work to set this organization on an upward trajectory, and I wish him and his family the best. They fired him, so they don't actually feel that way. They don't. You fire the guy in the middle of the season, seemingly randomly, and without a cause other than A.J. Brown pantsed you. And a 35-10 Eagles win over Tennessee, which was delightful to watch. Because Robinson has done a damn good job as general manager of this team. He took them from being 2-14 to 7 straight winning seasons. They have a pretty damn good track record when it comes to the first round the last couple of seasons. And, I mean, he took over an organization that foisted Mike Mularkey and the exotic Smash Mouth offense upon him. Robinson also was the one who hired Mike Vrabel, which I think is largely due to the fact that Robinson, for a time, was in New England's front office. So, it's a strange move. Robinson, by all accounts, did a good job there. And it's also interesting to see that all of the people who constantly have tidbits about the Titans because of their strong relationships with Mike Vrabel. Got nothing on this. Reminds me of a situation that I found myself in, talking with a former head coach and not 100% understanding what was going on in the midst of a power struggle. Vrabel is giving nobody receipts because Vrabel made this happen. Vrabel was done with John Robinson. And if you look back at all of the hints over the course of the year, maybe it wasn't that obvious to a lot of people outside of Tennessee, but did you see Vrabel's look the day that A.J. Brown was traded in the draft? Did you see how he got up from his chair, walks away, and then comes back and looks pissed? It's an emotional person. He had just said that there is no world where A.J. Brown is not on the Tennessee Titans. But he also made this comment on November 6th, and this has me thinking about Bill O'Brien again. To Ed Werder, November 6th, asked about the sustainability of Derrick Henry taking 26-plus carries every game. We've been able to use him, and he's helped us win a lot of games since I've been here. I don't know what else we would do. Throw it 50 times? I mean, who the bleep would we throw it to? He said that on record. That's not a source. That is direct to Ed Werder. Who the bleep would we throw it to? And I mean, you have Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback, so you don't want to throw the ball 50 times a game anyway, even if Tannehill is a solid, right on the new Dalton line of quarterbacks, you know? He's solid. Good day, he's good. Bad day, he's very bad. You saw that in the playoffs. Vrabel is doing what Bill O'Brien did. And I'm very curious as to who the next person hired as general manager is, but I wonder if Vrabel thinks he's smart enough to do it. If he's willing to go full Emperor Palpatine when he takes out Samuel L. Jackson / Mace Windu. Although, let's be honest, that wasn't Mace Windu, that was Samuel L. Jackson. They should have just let him be Jedi Knight Samuel L. Jackson. When Emperor Palpy mercs Mace Windu / Samuel L. Jackson, he drops this line. That's what Vrabel wants. And I have a question. Do you think that works? Does a head coach having all the say, is it possible for someone other than Bill Belichick to pull that off? A head coach / general manager running the entire operation. I think it's possible. And I actually do trust Mike Vrabel from a I think he's intelligent perspective. I also said the same thing about Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's problem is people skills. Maybe Vrabel doesn't have the best people skills either. He does seem rather abrasive at times with those he speaks with. He's definitely good at playing the media game, though. Would Vrabel in charge of everything be good? Whatever the case, I love this because the Titans, who have had 7 straight winning seasons, it does feel like next year, if not this season, next year, they will take a step back. The problem is the rest of the AFC South, as we conclude our South Side segment, blows, especially the Houston Texans. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN is how you call or text in on the HRNP listener line. You can tweet me at Galan Says, twitch.tv/ESPN975 to join us on our chat. Coming up next, it's our 10-minute drill. Odell Beckham Jr. is having quite the time vacationing from NFL City to NFL City, but I don't think he's going to be playing anywhere this year. Plus, you'll get to hear a depressed Sean McVay. It's the Paul Galan Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, punch.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Galant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Odell Beckham Jr., free agent wide receiver who tore his ACL after a pretty nice start to last year's Super Bowl with the Rams against the Bengals, has been visiting a couple of teams to determine, I guess, where he might play at the end of this season, if he's actually healthy enough to play. He visited the New York Giants, where he, of course, used to play. He's visited the Buffalo Bills as well. And he visited the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, he drew a lot of excitement at a Dallas Mavericks game sitting courtside when the crowd zoomed in on Odell Beckham Jr., who was wearing some weird varsity Letterman designer jacket. Here's the crowd. A pause for a moment. I've never liked OBJ. I always thought, and I guess it doesn't work because we're not talking about initials here, but I always thought ODB was better. I know that we're talking about like OD, like the first two letters of his first name, and then B as opposed to, you know, OBJ. But I don't get where the J came from. Because the J is for junior. Wait, like, do we need to say the junior? Why can't we just say OB? Or, again, ODB. I think ODB is better.
But ODB is already taken.
By who?
Old Dirty Bastard.
I don't know who that is.
He's a member of Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, that's bad by me.
Yeah. So that's why Odell has that nickname. Is because it's someone else's nickname, and it kind of works.
Okay.
But it's such a better nickname for when your initials actually are Old Dirty and Bastard, ODB.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Then because we don't do that with anyone else. Like, that's like if Chris Paul was like CHP.
That would be funny if he was. It sounds a lot nerdy, which Chris Paul come across a little
Sounds like
nerdy.
A laptop company.
Yeah, I like that. So, look, it's been an interesting recruiting trip for Odell Beckham Jr. He had the also airline fiasco from Miami to LA, which no one has gotten to the bottom of. Like, we just moved on from that. I mean, he's back out in public. Like, that never actually happened. But it's getting a little dirty in Dallas from this perspective. He's getting smeared. We got another Ed Werder report to read. Ed Werder, who seemingly is either the front lawn of Brett Favre's estate or somewhere in Dallas reporting on the Cowboys. The Cowboys have concerns after Odell Beckham Jr.'s physical that his recovery from a torn left ACL in the Super Bowl has not progressed enough to ensure he would play before mid-January and possibly exists signing him would have no benefit on the 2023 season. Then you got this from Jerry Jones when he was on with the morning show for his weekly visit with 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Well, I'm not confident at all. And so that's the issue. Now, we all realize that that issue of health, that issue of availability is here every time. Just this one is very obvious and very pointed toward his injury that had occurred last year in the Super Bowl. So we've got a good beat on that. We've got a great read on his career.
So that means they're not going to sign him this year. Maybe they sign him in the offseason, but if you're Odell Beckham Jr., would you want to sign with a team that's leaking out the details about your health? You didn't see the Giants do that. You didn't see the Bills do that. It's a strange move, and I do think that the Cowboys could use a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. CeeDee Lamb as the guy that you're relying on in the playoffs, and specifically just thinking about a potential matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles, don't you think that Darius Slay could easily wipe CeeDee Lamb off the face of the earth? I do. I think Slay is a much better player than at his position than CeeDee Lamb is at his respective position. Again, we'll see when these two teams play one another. So there you go. It's funny. The text line lighting me up from the 409. Bruh! How don't you know ODB? How old are you, 67? From Chris from Sam Houston on the Twitch. How has Paul not heard of ODB? Back to yesterday. Paul, you have lost all your street cred. I had street cred. Well, I had it. Not knowing who ODB is. Old Dirty Bastard. Listen, I'm musically challenged. You gotta cut me some slack on all this stuff. I wasn't allowed to listen to rap music when I was a kid. Like, I would sneak listen to Jammin' 94.5, the Boston hip-hop station, when I was in like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, entirely so I could hear Nelly's Ride With Me and Miss Jackson by Outkast. I am the most basic of basic of basic white people that didn't listen to that at all / weren't allowed to listen to rap at all. So you think I'm going to be listening to Wu-Tang Clan?
How often did they play Jump Around on the Boston rap station?
I never heard it.
Oh, really?
No, this, I think
I would have thought they were just like...
That predated me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that predated
me. How old are you?
Shut up. I'm 33. It is impressive that you know who Wu-Tang Clan is, considering you're, what, like 22? 23?
I'm 26.
Okay, same thing. So, to me, it's all the same. If you are less than 27 years old, you are 5 years old, okay?
What a interesting line you drew.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just bitter.
Yeah, now you're lashing out all over the place.
I actually was walking into work today, and I just had a random thought come to my mind. I was like, so I'm probably halfway through my life. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's only 66.
I sound despondent there. I sound a little depressed there. 66. Listen, I'm not sure I'm going to have my faculties past 66. I forget things a lot now. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like 33 years from now. Imagine me on the radio trying to hold together a thought without you or without Vanessa or without anybody. You see me on my own Twitch, twitch.tv/Galan Says. You're probably like, what? Where's he going with this?
It'd be Mike Francesa falling asleep at the microphone.
I will never fall asleep at the microphone, so at the very least, give me that. Never will do that. And I've done shows inebriated, specifically the one that I did when the Astros won the World Series in 17. Like, I was pretty buzzed for, I would say, from midnight until 2:30. And then all of a sudden, the champagne started coming out of my system. Hey, speaking of people who sound despondent, I wanted to play this clip of Sean McVay. Sean McVay's asked about the Rams who are just falling apart, current situation, and here's what he had to say.
Being honest, I think you acknowledge some insecurities that maybe you didn't think you have that this forces you to reflect on. And are you really foundationally secure in the things that really matter? Or do you let some of the outside in narratives affect your being or some of these results affect the way that you approach things? And to say that there hasn't been rough moments where some of that doubts occurred, I'd be lying to you guys.
They're so lucky they won the Super Bowl last year. You've heard me say this, and I've been right, that Sean McVay is overrated as a head coach. That doesn't mean he's bad as a head coach. I think some people sometimes conflate the words overrated and bad. He's not a bad head coach, but he should not have won last year's Super Bowl. They overcame many mistakes by him from game management perspectives in each of the playoff victories that they had. Against the Bucks, where they gave the ball to Cam Akers too much, even though he fumbled the ball twice. In the NFC Championship game, where he had horrible clock management. And in the Super Bowl, where he forgot that Cooper Kupp was on his team for a long period of time. Also, Les Snead's lucky because, listen, they said bleep them picks for all of those years. It should have caught up with them, and it's finally catching up with them now because they traded all of those picks for Matt Stafford. If you looked at Matt Stafford's injury history, you had to have known that this was a possibility given that he's had multiple back fractures over the last couple of seasons. So the Rams find themselves here, but guess what, guys? Guess what? There's hope. And it comes by the name of Baker Mayfield. Because they have Baker Mayfield now. And he might start Thursday night against the Raiders. Oh, God, that's our Thursday night game.
Wait, this Thursday?
Yeah.
Wait, he got signed yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's how down bad the Rams are. There's a chance.
Just play a receiver in quarter. Someone who knows the plays.
Sean, how checked out do you think Al Michaels is going to sound for this Thursday night football game?
Oh, who are they playing?
It is Rams-Raiders. The Raiders at least have won three in a row.
Yeah, somehow the Raiders are the more intriguing
Seriously,
team.
Seriously, they're the exciting team here. Because I think the Raiders are like slightly in the mix. They need help from the Chargers. The Chargers need to keep Chargers in, which, by the way, that will probably happen. We'll see with Baker Mayfield. It's a weird decision to claim him at this point in the year. I mean, but at this point, too, the Rams have no first-round pick. Like the Lions have it. So you're right now playing for your pick to not be so good for Detroit. Like also, it's like petty pick.
Also, it sounds like they just need a quarterback if they're playing Baker Mayfield off of 2 days of being in the building.
Yeah, I think something happened to John Wofford. I'm not 100% sure. I'll be honest, I don't care. You know,
man, like, but prayers up for John Wofford.
Yeah. I mean, they photoshopped Baker Mayfield's head onto John Wofford's body for the Photoshop of Baker Mayfield with the Rams.
Oh, that's worse than what the Rockets did to, was it Jeremy Lin? Yeah, oh, to Jeremy Lin.
They did that to Jeremy Lin?
Yeah, when they were trying to get Carmelo Anthony. They gave Carmelo Anthony number 7 in like their like billboard, fake billboard thing that they made for him where they Photoshop him in a Rockets jersey.
Wow. Didn't retire Jeremy Lin's jersey?
No. Well, no, Jeremy Lin was on the team. And they gave his jersey to someone who didn't sign with the Rockets.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense. I'm only somewhat being sarcastic when I say, like, they retired Jeremy Lin's jersey. There were some very, very ardent Lin supporters here during the Jeremy Lin era.
There still are, so be careful.
There might have been a little race involved with that, as there is, and I get it, but, like, he sucked. I hated Jeremy Lin as a player. Seemed like a very nice guy, but I remember the first time I saw Patrick Beverley on the court and Beverley was coming off the bench for Lin, I was like, please, for the love of God, get Beverley out there. And this was before I had, like, just an absolute crush on Beverley. This was just, oh, my God, I can't deal with Lin's bad. Like, Lin played well. He would just have the most awful-looking turnovers. And the turnovers would drive me crazy. Anyway, one last thing in our 10-minute drill. We're wondering what's happening next year for both Sean Payton and Tom Brady. Well, on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray, Sean Payton and Tom Brady might have gotten themselves in trouble again. This time, I think, hinting that they could have a partnership in the future, but not at Fox, which they are both contracted to work for.
If he goes back into coach, yeah, it depends. You know,
who says Tommy's coming to Fox right away? I mean, you know, I know this is his podcast, but clearly we don't want to get another team in trouble.
We don't. You never know what happens in the NFL. So,
right?
Who knows? I thought I was retired. I wasn't. You know, who knows? So
he sounds so uncomfortable.
You never know what the future looks like.
Tom sounds really uncomfortable there that Sean brought that up. I bet that they're going to end up together somewhere. Where is the question? I don't think it's going to be Vegas because Josh McDaniels is there. Part of me thinks that Brady wants an entirely fresh start. It's not going to be the Chargers. I do think Peyton would like to go to the Chargers. They're going to can Brandon Staley, I think, if this year continues to go the way that it's going. Because Sean Payton wants to work with Justin Herbert, I would imagine. But it would be intriguing to see both Brady and Payton somewhere like was supposed to happen with the Miami Dolphins, which is what got Stephen Ross and the Dolphins in trouble. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, the Cougs won again. Sean's horns. That was a rough way to go. It's college basketball season. Plus, some thoughts on the Hall of Fame. Again, can we just put Clemens and Bonds in? Fred McGriff? Seriously? But first, guys, you want to join us because we're celebrating Christmas a little early with our season of giving here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're kicking off this holiday season. By the way, when's the holiday party? I'm excited for that. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 holiday party always delivers. But giving a little extra back to our awesome listeners today, we're giving away $50 gift cards to Federal American Grill all day long. Love Federal. Dress up or dress down, a bourbon or a beer, a ribeye or a burger. Reserve the Federal American Grill today at any of our four locations. But caller 3 to 713-780-3776. You win a $50 gift card to Federal American Grill. Tune in all December long for our season of giving and head to ESPN975.com/season for more info on how you can get involved.
My name is Stephen A. Smith and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Now, this is Wu-Tang, right?
This is ODB.
Thank you.
It's the instrumental because I can't play the lyricized version.
Gotcha. Okay. I was curious. I was like, well, where does he start talking? I'm assuming he just cusses nonstop, right?
Not nonstop, but, you know.
Okay. So here's the thing with me. I recognize music. I have no idea who any of it is by. Like, ask me who's in my favorite band of all time. Let's say, Overtime, Led Zeppelin, Lynyrd Skynyrd. No idea. Who's in Jimi Hendrix? Jimi Hendrix. I can give you that. But I've heard this song. So at the very least, we're going there. Not Santa, who is mad that I'm not that thrilled about Fred McGriff making it into the Hall of Fame on Twitter tweets at me, let's be real, Paul ain't making it to 40. I disagree, because it's not that far away. And I'm still healthy. So at the very least, you know, like, if I do go out, it's going to be, like, not intended, right? Well, we can be, Sean's laughing. We can get morbid talking about
just
death.
Just non-intended.
I mean, yeah. It would be unintentional.
It would be a tragic event.
Yes. And look, I see myself lasting past this. But, Sean, you can isolate the audio. And I'm a big believer. Like, I want everyone, like, laughing when I die. Like, I want everyone to have a good time. No, seriously. I do. I don't want anyone sad. So, if I do croak, I want this audio brought up and played. Like, you guys can have, like, a remembrance show and like, all, there's, like, sad music playing in the background. But then all of a sudden, records scratch. And then you play, like, a clown car music or something like that. And then we're just like, and then it's, remember when Paul said he was going to live past 40? I'm going to live past 40.
No, what we'll do, and I'm glad we can already start planning this. What we'll do is we'll be very serious for most of it.
Okay.
And then at the very end, we'll go, and now it's time for garbage time. And then we'll play the music. And we'll play this clip
I like
of
it.
You saying that you'll make it to 40 when you won't. We'll play some other of the favorites of the Paul Gallant show.
I love it. I can't wait for... You know what's funny in radio, too? Whenever someone takes over for somebody else, there's like this sort of just awkward transition period where like you don't acknowledge the person before. And I always thought it was... It was awkward for me coming in. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm replacing Charlie Polillo. Like, again, didn't want... to replace Charlie Polillo, but you got to take the jobs that are given to you, you know? It's always awkward because then you're, like, not supposed to mention him. And I was thinking to myself, do I want to talk about him on the first day of the show? I do, because I know he knows his sports, and he was a damn good sports radio host here. But, yeah, it's always like, frowned upon by the powers at be. And I was like, do I want to step on toes and be the renegade first day on the job? No. 11 months on the job, 10 months on the job. Like now I feel comfortable saying, like, yeah, I felt kind of uncomfortable stepping into that spot.
First of all, brave of you to say something
Thank
so
you.
Controversial.
Oh, no.
And then also, I'll keep that in mind for when whoever replaces you.
Please do.
6 months.
Please do. Yeah, I mean, shoot, that's probably what's going to happen. Like, this
When's the next yacht week?
Yeah, because that could be when I die. You're just, oh, Paul
just
went.
Fall off a cruise ship. Like or a yacht, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like an episode of White Lotus. Oh, Paul's gone. How did that happen? Oh yeah. Hey, this happened last night, guys. So you have this when it comes to Houston sports.
The Houston Cougars were perfect in November. They start December with an impressive win here at the Fortuna Center. And will go to 9-0 on the year. A warm embrace between the coaching staff as the Cougars win it tonight over the Ospreys, 76-42.
Osprey is a good nickname. That is technically what a Seahawk is. Anyway, watch the beginning of this game. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. They're just way better. They're just way better than North Florida. But Marcus Sasser, he was awesome out of the shoot. He had like 12 points the first 8 minutes, and he got clocked in the face. Had to get 5 stitches. But this is what you expect from UH. Sean Mapes, meanwhile, his beloved Texas Longhorns were playing Illinois, a team that I watched not too long ago, absolutely crucify Syracuse basketball to the point where I want Jim Boeheim now fired. Sean, your thoughts on the overtime loss for the number 2 Horns?
They played very strong at the beginning of the first half up until probably about the 7-minute mark. It was a pretty even game, and then they started pulling away in that second half.
Mm.
And then the crunch time offense.
Just really bad.
It was like a parody, or it's like if people were just going to show a tape of what bad college basketball offenses look like, it's what the Texas Longhorns did.
Okay.
To end the Illinois game. A lot of bad shots that come after 25 seconds of aimless dribbling that doesn't lead to anything.
I got an offer for you then, because clearly you're not happy with Chris Beard. Offer for you.
I didn't say that, but
you're clearly not
happy.
I'll
listen
him.
To the offer.
You get one of the greatest coaches in college basketball history, an institution, a man who, yeah, maybe looked the other way with a coach on his staff that may or may not have been molesting kids, and also a guy who, you know, once was driving down the road and ran somebody over, but it was dark out. Would you take straight up Jim Boeheim much more accomplished than Chris Beard. A national title to his name, a couple of Final Four appearances recently. Would you take Jim Boeheim straight up for Chris Beard?
Thanks, but no thanks. I'll say that. When you said a institution and start getting into the off the court issues, I thought you were going with Rick Pitino, who is someone who I did want for Texas before they hired Chuck. Or before they hired Chris Beard.
God, that would be funny if Rick Pitino. And
I wanted,
you know,
so
what?
Bad.
I would take Rick Pitino at Syracuse. I'm not. And by the way, he was at Syracuse for a little bit of time. Anyway,
there you go. Bring him home.
No one cares about Syracuse basketball, so just wanted to throw that out there. I don't like Jim Boeheim either. For the people in the Twitch that constantly rip on Jim Boeheim, I don't like him either. I think he's a douche, like just a total a-hole. Like, there's nothing redeeming about him, and now the program has become, hey, let's play my sons, of which I have a lot, apparently. Baseball Hall of Fame did make some decisions as far as the contemporary era and the crime dog, Fred McGriff, was elected. Barry Bonds, out. Roger Clemens, out. Curt Schilling, out. McGriff was unanimous among the 16. A player needs 75% of the vote to be elected. I got to say, McGriff probably deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. What is he, like 6 home runs shy of 500 or something like that? He has some really impressive statistics. 493 home runs, 2493 hits. Top 10 of the MVP ballot in 6 different years, including every year from 89 to 93. Again, incredible season. Excuse me, career. But Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens had less than 4 votes. They had less votes than Don Mattingly, who everyone loves because he was a Yankee, and Dale Murphy. Curt Schilling makes sense. Curt Schilling belongs in. I get it. He's got hot takes. Can we remove the hot takes from the equation? Ty Cobb killed a guy and bragged about it. Greatest hitter of all time. Also, confessed murderer who did it because, like, he wanted to do it. Like, he wrote this down. First-hand account. Ty Cobb killed a guy. He killed him. But Curt Schilling tweets me like dumb stuff. Curt Schilling should be in. Barry Bonds should be in. Roger Clemens should be in. And it feels personal. It does. It shouldn't be personal. It should be objective, right? It's not like these guys killed anybody. Did they cheat? Probably. Did they dominate their respective eras? Yes. Stop. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Up next. Okay. I want to address a take by Jeremy Branham of the Killer Bees when it comes to how the Texans should be addressing their quarterback situation going forward. And from you, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Akalon says at Shawnee Mapes on Twitter. I want you to give me an outside-the-box idea for the Texans to fill that quarterback position. I've got an idea for you. It's going to involve shameful tactics, but I think we can bring a hometown hero back on the field at NRG. I'll tell you what I'm talking about next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1-ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.